Good evening, everyone. Certainly good to be here tonight. Thank you for coming. We appreciate the good singing. And I appreciate that prayer very, very much tonight, Stuart. And I pray that God will help us, that we may have a service tonight that will redound to the glory of our God. Now, this morning, I believe I heard Jeff say something about the clocks. Jeff, which clock am I supposed to look at, that one or this one? Okay, all right, they're pretty good there, they said. Isn't that something? Well, I noticed on one of my, when I went back to kind of check myself out, that I walked too much across here. I'm going to have to keep my space about like this if I get my picture on that. I tell you what, it was something else. I couldn't believe it. But I tell you, I'm really glad to see all of you here tonight. We've had a wonderful day, and Jerry Yarbrough, that's why he's not here tonight. He's sick, and Troy wanted me to mention that, so be sure you remember him in your prayers to the Lord. Well, we have so many, don't we? And Patricia Gatlin, be sure you remember her. Keep praying for her, along with all the others that are sick. And let's do all we can to encourage each other and encourage those who are going through some trying times. Surely we do have that. And we're so thankful that Tommy is getting better, and Shirley, and hope and trust that he'll be able to be back with us, both of them, soon. And we appreciate, Jeff, your good work and Tommy's good work in the kingdom of God here. Boy, what a sermon we had this morning. Ann said to me this afternoon, we were talking about it, and said, boy, he had a good sermon this morning, didn't he? I said, he surely did, too. And we do appreciate you, Mike, and Mary, and Jackson, and Sam. So good, and keep praying for Don, his dad. My wife was real concerned about whether or not we had our names down to get the shot. How many of you got your names down on the show? Raise your hand, but you got your names down to get the shot. Well, I told her this afternoon, I said, oh yeah, we've got it down. And she said, well, I wish you would have put my name down there. And I said, what you kidding about? I put your name down first. I want you to be the very first. Kind of remind us whenever we went to get our blood test to get married. She had a little problem with seeing blood, and she had to, but guess what? Who was the one that really got all upset over that? It was me, I guess. Anyway, I really did enjoy being with Matt and Leah, and they're good family. They are just such wonderful people. We love them and love all of you. And Ann and I want to thank you very, very much for praying for us and her particularly. And she's had a really big, it's just been really a big struggle in the last several weeks. But we are thankful that she's able to be here tonight. Tonight I want us to study together a lesson that I hope that will be encouraging to you. And it's a lesson concerning the Word of the Lord. The Bible tells us, if you've got your Bible, look over, if you will, to the book of Psalms. In Psalms chapter 116, I want to read some scriptures with you in the very beginning, noticing what David said here. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. The Bible then says, then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. You hear a man here doing something. He's praying, and he's begging God to listen to him. He's got something on his mind. He wants to express it to God. Gracious is the Lord, he said, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For through thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from failing. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Isn't that an interesting phrase? I will do what? I will walk. Where will you walk? I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. But then he goes on. He said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. In verse 12 is a statement or a question that I want us to think about for just a few moments. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? What will I render to God for what God has done for me? You know, we could bring so many passages of Scriptures from the Word of the Lord to point out how many blessings we have. As a matter of fact, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Paul said in Ephesians 1 and verse 3, I think of the fact that God's given us His Son. What a tremendous blessing. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nobody, we don't want anyone to perish. And here we find that Christ was sent so that no one, not a single individual, might perish. And then He said God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. What a wonderful expression. Then in the book of Romans, chapter 5, the Bible tells us in verses 8 and 9, God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Oh, my friend, there are so many blessings. There are so many things that God has done for us. For example, what about the gospel? The Bible says that Jesus came and He told His disciples, and He said to them, all power hath been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be able to share the glorious gospel with someone? Can you imagine what it must be like in that day whenever we stand before God, if someone is standing over there and point to you and say, it's because of you that I am here, being able to be in heaven forevermore. What a wonderful thing. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Yes, God's power, that's a great blessing, being able to share with others the glorious gospel, God's power to save. And then notice what James tells us, that all, every blessing, good thing comes from God in James 1 and verse 17. And then when we look at all of that, and we could just talk about so many others, what do we have? We have now how that the Bible tells us that David writes, what shall I render unto the Lord for all the good blessings and benefits toward me? We're going through a time now where people have given up loved ones, people have gotten sick, all kinds of turmoil throughout the world. But there is something that we have. We have, and we're standing with Jesus. We have Jesus Christ to be with us. What a blessing. No wonder in the book of Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible tells us there that God will be with us if we put our trust in Him. No, and then we find that the Bible tells us over in the book of Isaiah how that God is our refuge and strength. That's in Psalms 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Benefits, blessings, to whom? To me, an old sinner. When Paul was writing to the Timothy, the young evangelist, in 1 Timothy 3, the Bible tells us that he might be able to know how to behave himself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And Paul, when he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, Guy McDaniel, sitting up here tonight, preaching to you good people. You've been so good to us. And yet I can share with you what God has done, and have hopefully in some way be an encouragement to all of us that we may live for Jesus Christ all the days of our life. I've been asked to do so many funerals lately. And I stand and I look and I observe. And last night, I couldn't sleep this morning real early in the morning. I got up and I just went into my office and I began to type out the names of all the people that we have lost that will not be filling in these pews. Oh, it's just a great number of them. And yet, God has made a promise. Put your trust in me. I will help you. In the book of Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now, in view of all of that then, three questions and the lesson is yours. What shall a man like me, one who's been a sinner, lost, what do I give back to God? What will I give Him for all His blessings to me? Number one, I hope I'll give Him my love. Do you realize that the Bible tells us that Simon denied the Lord? Who was Simon? He was Peter. What did Peter do? He denied being with the Lord, denied the Lord Himself. How many times? Three times. Did you know before Jesus left, He talked with Simon? And three times, what did He ask Simon? He said, Simon, lovest thou me? What's Jesus doing? Jesus is asking one who has denied Him, asking him, do you love me? Christ knows everything. God knows everything. Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. What did Jesus want to hear from Simon Peter? Yes, Jesus, I love you. After he'd gone through the first one, and in the second, we find that he asked the question. Jesus again, Simon, do you love me? What would you feel like? Here I am, God, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And then the second time, Simon, do you love me? He says, Lord, you know I love you. I tell you why it's a big thing to hear somebody say, I love you. It's so important to the Lord Jesus Christ for you to tell Him that you love Him. And he heard Simon say twice, Lord, I love you. And then, on the third time, he said, Simon, do you love me? Sometimes people will say, why do I have to tell you more than once that I love you? I tell you why. Because people love to hear when you tell them that you love them. One thing I want to give to my Lord is to say, Jesus, I love you. Simon was asked, Simon, do you love me? He said, thou knowest all things, Lord. You know I love you. I pray to the good Lord and above that when I take my last steps and my body then is encased in the casket, I pray that I will have in my lifetime said to Him over and over, Jesus, I love you. Oh, my friend, there was a lawyer that came and tempted Jesus. He said, which is the greatest commandment of all? And I tell you what he said. He answered, the Lord said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You see, no wonder you can read in 1 John 4 and verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Yes, we can do that. We can tell Christ, our Lord, that we love him. But in the second place, we can show him. We can show the world in John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Well, I love to tell people. When they ask me where I preach or where I attend, the people that I work with, and I'm happy to tell them, I'm at El Beth. I'm rather at El Beth. This was a long time ago, wasn't it? I'm at O'Neill. And tell them of people. They'll say, is this one a member of that? Oh, yes. How about that? And then call your name. Isn't it wonderful to live in the world where you can, by your life, show the Lord that you love him and that he is yours? Oh, when the scriptures emphasize to us then how important it is for us to give to God. What God wants is you. He wants me. Not so much what we have. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he's Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. I know that. Why? Because in Acts 17:24, beginning. That's exactly what is stated concerning God. No wonder then you can just read and read the word of the Lord. And when you do, you find more and more scriptures that tell you about showing that great love. Thirdly, in the lesson to be yours, be loyal to him. I made a confession many years ago that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I do. It's like the lady one time that I asked her, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And she said, I sure do. Let me tell you tonight, I know he is the Son of God. And my friend, I've got to be loyal to him. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, the Bible says there, and this is a passage that Robert Jackson used to use a lot. By the way, Mike, Ann was saying today, as we were talking about your sermon, and she said, boy, said, wouldn't Robert Jackson be proud of him? And she said, I know he must have been. And we are proud of you too. But my friend, let me tell you tonight, when you look at the word of the Lord, and we want to do everything, we want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. We have so many blessings, don't we? You and I. You're my brothers. You're my sisters. Yes, you're my family. And the word of the Lord is the means of bringing us closer and closer. And I hope that every day that you live, that you draw closer to the Lord and closer to God's people. What a wonderful thing to spend an eternity with every one of you in heaven if we'll just be faithful to the Lord. I know this virus has caused us all to have... I talked to James Luna the other day, and he said, guy said, I don't feel good. I just can't go to services. A lot of people feel that way, don't they? Ah, we had so many wonderful blessings. What will I give to the Lord? I hope we'll not take for granted all the things we have. You remember I read to you a poem some years ago. It's called, The World is Mine. Today upon a bus I saw a lovely girl with golden hair. I envied her, she seemed so gay. I wished I were as fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one leg and wore a crutch, and as she passed she had a smile. Oh God, forgive me When I whine, I have two legs. The world is mine. And then I stopped to buy some sweets. The lad who sold them had such charm. I talked with him. He seemed so glad. If I were late, 'twould be no harm. And as I left, he said to me, "I thank you. You've been so kind. It's nice to talk with folks like you." You see, he said, "I am blind. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have two eyes. The world is mine." Later, walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment. Then I said, "Why don't you join the others, dear?" He looked ahead without a word, and then I knew he could not hear. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have two ears. The world is mine. With legs to take me where I would go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I'm blessed indeed. The world is mine. What will you give God? The psalmist says in Psalms 116, verse 12, "What will I give? What will I render unto the Lord for all His blessings toward me?" Thank Him every day. Pray that God will help us to be faithful to Him. Preaching here these many years, there was one thing I usually would do on the first of the year. Would remind you of making resolutions, hopefully that you'll carry out to draw you closer to God. I want to read that in conclusion tonight. It's called A New Leaf. "He came to my desk with a quivering lip. The lesson was done. 'Dear teacher, I want a new leaf,' he said. 'I've spoiled this one.' I took the old leaf, stained and blotted, and gave him a new one, all unspotted, and into his sad eyes smiled, 'Do better now, my child.' And then I went to the throne with a quivering soul. The old year was done. 'Dear Father, hast thou a new leaf for me? I've spoiled this one.'" Let me pause for a moment. Look at it. I've spoiled this one. He said he took the old leaf, he stained and blotted, and he gave me a new one, all unspotted, into my sad heart smile, "Do better now, my child." In the prayer tonight by Stuart, I noticed an expression that I try to use myself from time to time, giving God thanks for all, but especially for hearing my prayer and forgiving me. Isn't that wonderful to know that you are forgiven? Do you know that? The book says it does. He does. In 1 John chapter 2, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not, yet if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." In Romans 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." We don't want to do that. We don't want that. But thank God, we have a gift from God. That gift is every sin you've ever committed can be forgiven and will be forgiven and forgotten by turning to the Lord and obeying the Lord. If you're not a Christian tonight, won't you become one now? Be baptized for the remission of sins. If you're a Christian that you need us to pray with you and for you, won't you come and we'll do that for you tonight. Thank God for the privilege of being able to be here tonight. And if you're subject anyway, won't you come to the Lord while together we stand and walk.